The following is a paid commercial program from the Ulster County Department of Health. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly talk show exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is a community affairs presentation of the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health.
Good morning and welcome to Healthy Ulster Radio. My name is Vincent Martello. I'm Director of Community Health Relations for the Ulster County Department of Health. And February is Heart Health Month. And we're going to be talking about heart health with our very special guest, who I'll introduce in just a moment. And heart disease, one of the reasons why we're doing this program is because heart disease is a very serious leading cause of death. In the United States, it is a leading cause of death for men, women, and people of most racial and ethnic groups. One person dies every 36 seconds in the United States from cardiovascular disease, and about 659,000 people die each year from heart disease. That's one in every four deaths. Right here in Ulster County, of the five leading causes of death, heart disease has been at the very top of the list for decades and continues to be. And an acknowledgement of the importance of the ongoing fight against cardiovascular disease, back in 1963, Congress, by joint resolution approved in December 30th, 1963, requested that the president issue an annual proclamation designating February as American Heart Month, and it has been ongoing ever since. And we have the perfect person to discuss all this. He's with us today. He is Dr. Ellis Lader. Dr. Lader is a cardiologist and medical director of cardiology at Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley, which is a division of WMC Health. Dr. Lader earned his medical degree at New York University School of Medicine, and among many other credentials, he's a fellow of the American College of Cardiology. Welcome, Dr. Lader.
Oh, hi, Vince. Thank you very much for asking to be on the show. And those are gruesome statistics. They really are.
Yeah. And hopefully we will learn a lot about some of the preventative factors and then some of the marvelous treatment options and technology,
Yeah, I mean, we're one of the very few fields, I guess, where we're really working hard to try and put ourselves out of business. We don't want to be having to treat heart disease.
Yeah.
Much rather prevent it.
Yeah. So Dr. Lader, for the benefit of our listeners, can you describe what heart disease is? It's not just one big category, all-inclusive thing of disease, right? It has many manifestations, does it not?
Yeah, there's a lot of different ailments that afflict our hearts. And there's valve problems, there's heart muscle problems, there's heart rhythm problems. I think the one that probably we're all foremost in our mind that we really want to work hardest because we have the best shot at preventing it is the coronary artery disease, the plugging up of blood vessels that feed our heart that lead to heart attacks and similarly to strokes. I think that's probably the heart disease we're most interested in now during Heart Month. Mm-hmm.
And what are the main risk factors for heart disease? I imagine smoking is right there at the top of the list, but I'm sure you have many more.
Yeah. You know, that process of plugging up blood vessels, what they call atherosclerosis or hardening the arteries, probably the biggest risk is just getting older. And that's something we are glad to get older. But, as you get older, the risk increases. But things that we do have control over, you're right, smoking is probably our number one enemy. High cholesterol is a close second. And then we have things that like high blood pressure and diabetes all contribute to the risk of developing plaque that plugs up our coronary arteries. Yeah, age, we have no control over. Family history, well, it's by the time you're born, we're too late to pick our family history. Right. But the others we have control over.
Mm-hmm. And so, which segues right into those preventative factors. So, in practical terms, what can individuals do to minimize their risk of heart disease?
Again, we're talking about, coronary artery disease. I think the simplest answer is don't ever smoke. And if you do smoke, stop. Your risk of heart disease drops the minute you stop smoking. So, that's a big one. I think sort of an overreaching thing that a person can do is just to try to keep their weight in a desirable weight range. So by eating smart and staying physically active, these are all things that work together to lower blood pressure, lower cholesterol, improve a person's sugar, prevent diabetes. So, you know, all these things that your mother probably told you to do, it's true. Eat smart, stay active, and you know, all these things, it makes it either they don't happen or they're much easier for us to treat.
Mom is always right.
Mom's always right.
Dr. Later, so is there a point at which heart disease becomes non-reversible? I mean, I imagine like with all of those better diet, exercise, stopping, so all of those things, you can begin to reverse, but where is that line between reversible and not reversible?
Well, the thing that people don't realize, and actually became clear in sort of a surprising way during the Korean and Vietnam Wars, where you know, soldiers who were killed in combat had autopsies done. These are kids, you know, 19, 20 years old. Uh-huh. And they found, even at that early stage, that there were signs of plaque beginning to develop in coronary arteries and in the aorta. You know, so this whole business of developing plaque, it's progressive and it's silent over decades. And only when a blockage gets to the point of being, you know, 75%, 80% in severity, can it start to cause symptoms. And, you know, by then it's, you know, the reversal part is it's too late. But I'll tell you one thing that's really important is that at plaque, as it's growing, if we recognize that it's present and do all these things in terms of controlling cholesterol, lowering blood pressure and stuff, it can stop getting worse. And that often is enough to avoid, you know, heart attacks and strokes. So mm-hmm. even just if it's detected and treated aggressively, you can stop it in its tracks.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you something. So, you know, I'm a fairly healthy guy, right? I exercise regularly in my 60s, and I eat a fairly healthy diet. And I think I'm pretty healthy, but how would I know otherwise? How would I know that I don't have some of these risk factors?
You know, I mean, it's some of it is you can tell yourself. You step on a scale and see what the good or bad news
right,
is.
Right, right.
But I think, you know, I think it all starts probably with talking to your primary care physician. You know, checking the blood pressure periodically, getting labs drawn to check your, you know, see what your cholesterol is like and what your sugar is like. That's part of the, mm-hmm. you know, the preventive maintenance. Mm-hmm. And there are other things that that can be done in terms of looking for signs of developing, you know, problems, depending upon how high risk your doctor thinks you are in terms of, you know, either, you know, screening tests or things. And then being aware of symptoms that might be a sign of a trouble that's brewing. Again, different tests and things can confirm or reassure us that there's something there. And then, you know, depending upon circumstances, there's a whole range of therapies and interventions that are available.
So I'm a guy who goes to my doctor, you know, once a year, and he does the standard, you know, blood pressure and cholesterol. All of those numbers look really good. Low blood pressure, rather. You know, healthy weight. Low, you know, average to low to lower middle cholesterol. All those things. So, should I then assume that I'm good to go, or do I need to do more sophisticated tests? I
mean, well, you know, one of the rules in life is assume nothing, right? Never assume nothing. I think, you know, one thing that's helpful, and everybody can do this if you're interested, is there's a risk score that's available online. It's a statistical tool based on large population studies where you can plug into it's like a little calculator. You can plug in your age, your cholesterol readings, your blood pressure, your sex, whether you smoke or not. And based on population studies, it spits out a number that says this is your 10-year risk of a cardiovascular event. And sometimes it's surprising, you know, what that risk score comes up with. But if it looks like it's the risk score of an event is high enough, you know, then your doctor might think, or at your urging, the doctor might consider, you know, some other screening for signs of plaque starting to build up. And mm-hmm. This might be a place to make a plug or just mention some of the really amazing high tech stuff that there is at Health Alliance Hospital. Mm-hmm. The thing I'm talking about that can detect plaque before it ever gets bad enough to cause a symptom is called a calcium score. And we also have a brand new cath lab facility for looking for and fixing blockages that get beyond the point of being treatable with just medical therapy. But, you know, if that risk score says, you know, you have an elevated 10-year risk of a cardiac event, even if you feel good and have no symptoms, we know, as I said, that plaque can develop in a person's arteries, can get quite advanced without causing any symptoms at all. The calcium score is a simple, it's an X-ray study that actually can detect and quantify the amount of plaque that's in the coronary arteries and give you a real heads up if there's something you need to do that's more aggressive than just normal stuff.
That sounds really, really interesting. And I'd like to learn a lot more about it, and so would our listeners. But first, we're going to take a very short break, Dr. Later, and we'll be back after these words.
Heart attacks won't wait. If you ever have symptoms of a heart attack, you need to get to the nearest emergency department, preferably one with the technology and expertise to stop a heart attack in its tracks. Health Alliance Hospital, right here on Broadway in Kingston, has expanded cardiac services, including catheterization and electrophysiology. Now, for many people, Health Alliance in Kingston is the closest option to find treatment of clogged arteries, irregular heartbeats, and to limit damage from a heart attack already in process. For the first time, we have these advanced heart health services based right here in Ulster County. This expansion is part of a larger plan to bring advanced cardiac services to Ulster County and the surrounding communities. If you have heart attack symptoms, do not wait. Call 911 and get to the closest emergency department. At Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston, we are ready to see you now. That's Health Alliance Hospital on Broadway in Kingston. WMC Health, advancing care here.
And now, Healthy Ulster continues. This is a weekly presentation of the Ulster County Department of Health on 92.9 and 96.4.
Welcome back. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio, and our guest today is Dr. Ellis Later, who's a cardiologist at Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley. And we were talking about Heart Health Month, which is February. And we were discussing with Dr. Later about what heart disease is, how it manifests, what the risk and preventative factors are. And before the break, Dr. Later, we were talking about some of those tests that are available. And now let's talk a little bit about what the treatment options are. It seems that the field of heart medicine has come so far from I remember when I was young, a kid talking, you know, when they did the very first heart transplant. But I know that there's so many different procedures now that were heretofore real complex that have now become really routine, so much so that people see it as like, it's no big deal. I mean, surgery is a big deal, but you know, but the risk seems to be a lot lower.
Yeah.
Can you talk about some of those, highlight some of those developments in technology and treatment?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, we're talking about cholesterol. When I started practicing, there were no treatments for lowering cholesterol. And people actually were arguing because the only way you could lower cholesterol was with diet. They were arguing about whether cholesterol is even important because diets don't do a good job in lowering cholesterol. And we've seen over the years, we're talking decades now, that increasingly sophisticated and potent therapies for lowering cholesterol have made a huge impact on being able to slow down or even stop the progression of coronary disease. You know, it's really impressive. I mean, so there are new families of drugs that are out there for lowering cholesterol, new families of drugs for controlling blood pressure. The diagnosis of coronary disease, when we started practicing, we had stress testing. Now we have stress testing with nuclear imaging, which is far more sensitive. We have cardiac catheterization, which now we're able to do right here in Ulster County with our new cath lab.
What is that exactly?
Where you inject dye into the coronary arteries to see if there are blockages present, and actually at the same sitting now, because our cath lab is an interventional cath lab, if there are bad blockages, we're able to change catheters and open up the blockages with balloons and put stents there to hold the blockages open. Again, we've seen that whole progress from doing catheterization to being able to do catheterization with these balloon angioplasties, to being able to do catheterizations with balloon angioplasties and stents. And then these whole new generations of stents that have different coatings on them that help to prevent the vessels from closing up around the stents. So we have so interventional cardiology. There are pacemakers that have gotten smaller and better batteries, and pacemakers that can pace different parts of the heart in different ways. We have defibrillators that are implantable and can correct lethal rhythms, all kinds of stuff. We've seen aortic valve replacement almost be completely replaced by a catheter-based aortic valve replacement, TAVR, transcatheter aortic valve replacement, so that most people now who require aortic valve replacements can have it done as a one-day hospital admission and go home the next day with a brand new aortic valve. You know, it's just amazing the way the field of cardiology has advanced. We can't do TAVRs here in Kingston, but we're able to do angioplasty, stents, and our electrophysiology colleagues, who we now have an electrophysiologist who works with us here in Kingston, can do pacemakers and defibrillators right here in Kingston.
Yeah, that's amazing.
A lot of really neat stuff going on.
Yeah, I mean, is it hard to keep up with all of that? I mean, there are continuing education. That's an ongoing process for any practitioner,
it's
right?
It's an ongoing process. It's really interesting. And I've said it before, how I really enjoy our affiliation now with Westchester Medical, because our cardiology division, we're part of an academic division of cardiology. So it comes with all our conferences and grand rounds and teaching and interaction with the whole team here and at the main campus down in Valhalla. So it really, I think, has elevated our whole level of practice to another level. And then sort of, by the way, you sort of mentioned that here in Kingston, we actually are involved with clinical research as well. We've just been selected as a site for an Amgen study that's looking at a whole new, it's funny, you hear these words all the time, but it's another whole new therapy for lowering some components of cholesterol, which may contribute to plaque formation beyond the typical LDL cholesterol. A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. And I know there's a major expansion underway for the hospital here in Kingston with a whole, I'm sure that's bringing in a lot of new equipment and right treatment suites. Can you talk about what some of those things are anticipated to be?
Yeah, well, I think the construction of the new facility, which is at the where the Mary's Avenue campus is, adds a state-of-the-art ER, ICU, and maternity unit, along with all private rooms for patients, which really a great thing. But we're going to have two cath labs, and for catheterizations and interventions, a much better cardiac CT scanner, so for calcium scores and coronary CT angiograms, and a cardiac MR, which gives us images that, to get cardiac MR previously, we'd have to send a patient down to Westchester for that advanced imaging, along with their suite of new echo equipment, all kinds of neat stuff. So we're really excited.
Now, with this broad array of options and treatments and technologies and so on, so if you're a layperson out there and you're saying to yourself, I might be somewhat concerned about potential heart disease or whatever, where do you begin? Do you begin with your primary care physician and then take advice from that person and come to someone such as yourself, or do you come directly to a specialist?
Usually it's start with your primary care provider. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it's important to sort of be aware of symptoms that might be, you know, important. I mean, you know, the things that we'd focus on in terms of heart prevention is, you know, make sure we know your blood pressure. And just for people who wonder, what should a good blood pressure be? Mm-hmm. The guidelines now have it, your blood pressure should be in the 120 to 130 over 70 to 80 range on average, mm-hmm. on average. Mm-hmm. And, you know, make sure your diabetes is okay, or better yet, you don't have diabetes. Mm-hmm. You should know what your cholesterol is and your LDL levels. You're aim for an ideal body weight. And if there are things like that that are of concern, make sure you discuss that with your physician. Mm-hmm. And then the symptoms that would get us concerned, you know, more typically would be a discomfort in the chest area that comes on with exertion and goes away with rest. Mm-hmm. So that pattern of exertional discomfort relieved by rest is one that would make us prick up our ears and say, uh-oh, is that a cardiac symptom, what they call angina? Mm-hmm. But something related to that would be unusual shortness of breath with rest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know that women tend not to have as many typical symptoms as men. So we're, you know, always kind of on the lookout for, you know, for patterns of symptoms that maybe not classic, but are suspicious. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the collection of risk factors, have your primary physician look at it, or because of symptoms that are alarming, primary physician, or you could always, you know, come ask us. And then depending on circumstances, we'll figure out what's the best way to go in terms of investigating them.
Now, the circulatory system in one's body is very extensive. So how does one know that, you know, that your entire circulatory system is functioning? In other words, you, like in your extremities, for instance, versus, you know, close to your heart where those tests take place.
Yeah, there's vascular disease. It's kind of a whether we're talking about cardiac or brain, you know, stroke or what they call peripheral arterial disease, which is usually in the legs. In a sense, the disease is all the same. It affects the arteries with buildup of plaque. Although each vascular territory doesn't behave exactly the same as the other, although usually if a person has problems with plaque in their legs, they also have problems with plaque in their arteries, their carotid arteries, and in their heart. There are different teams that look after these different vascular territories, although we all are working together. And that's part of that Heart and Vascular Institute. So we have neurologists and vascular surgeons who deal with the circulation in the, you know, neck and the brain, and then the vascular surgeons who deal with the circulation in the legs. And it's interesting, you know, we say, well, what's a typical symptom of coronary artery blockages? Well, it's pain in the chest when you exercise. And why is there pain in the chest when you exercise? Well, it's because the heart muscle, as it's asking for oxygen, can't get enough oxygen because when its supply arteries are narrowed. So a symptom of circulation problems in the legs is pain in the calf when you're exercising. Mm-hmm. Why? It's because when you're walking and your leg muscles say, I need more oxygen, they can't get enough oxygen because their supply artery has a blockage in it.
Got it. Wow, this is great, really super interesting. But before we run out of time, and we're going to have you back because this is a big topic and it's really fascinating. Before we run out of time, can you tell our listeners where to go for more information and how to get in touch with you?
Well, our office number, I don't know if my manager will like it, but our office number is 845-339-3663. And operators are standing by.
But wait, there's more. Well, Dr. Lehter, thank you so much for joining us for February Heart Health Month. You are a wealth of information, and I hope that folks out there take their heart health seriously. It can be potentially dangerous, and take good care of yourselves out there. And thank you so much, Dr. Lehter.
You're most welcome. This can all be prevented. Remember that.
Sounds great. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show from the Ulster County Department of Health. This program is a weekly community affairs presentation sponsored by the Emergency Department at Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, a member of WMC Health. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next weekend.